In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So, this is the third Sunday in Lent, and by the end of the week, we will be halfway through this sacred season. Today is the first day of spring, which gives us hope of a new life. And in the Roman liturgy of the Martyrology, today is also the feast of the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, who's named as Saint Fotina, with her two sons, Victor and Joseph. Amazing story recorded in chapter 4 of Saint John. So we have this week the great feast of Saint Benedict tomorrow, and the Archangel Gabriel on Thursday. That's the anniversary of the death of my sister Mary Robinson, God rest her soul. And on Friday, of course, the great feast of the Annunciation. And on Friday, as you may have heard, the Holy Father has called upon all the bishops of the world to join with him in consecrating Russia and Ukraine to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So there is no revelation of the text that will be used for that. We will find out this week. There is no doubt that there is controversy swirling around this topic, and I will address that at the catechism class, adult catechism today, after the Mass, between the two Masses. But there is no doubt that it, objectively, whatever the motive, whatever the defects in the execution, this is a good thing for all the world's bishops to do something completely Catholic to consecrate these very troubled lands. Certainly we must pray for the people suffering in those lands at the moment, and we pray for the purging of all the evil that is destroying so many souls and lives. And surely there can be nothing better we can do than pray. And when the prayer is united with the whole church in obedience to the Queen of Heaven, great things can happen. So I plan to be back for Saturday morning Mass, 26th, and there will be a Mass at 9, Holy Hour following. I'll probably go to this event on Saturday night. Someone puts these flyers at the back of the church. I remind you not to put anything without the priest's permission, but there's a bunch of these flyers I transferred to the table in front of the confessional. This is in Somerville High School, next Saturday night, 7 p.m., lecture by Dr. Peter Kwasniewski, and I've been following some of his writings. He's a scholar, a traditional Catholic gentleman, and there are some things he writes that I disagree with, that I think is against the church teaching, but I'm sure this will be very good. He's a prominent traditional author. So next Sunday, the usual times, 7:30, sung Mass at 10, and that will be Laetare Sunday next week. So please keep those who are sick from this parish in your prayers. Still, Bob Rito needs prayers. Also, Julia Birchler, she has broken an arm, is suffering a great deal. And there's also Easter Novena Mass cards available downstairs. Also, near the bulletins, you'll find this one page, prayer of the consecration of our Society of St. Pius X to St. Joseph, which was done yesterday after all our Masses around the world. And we'll do it again today. It's a short prayer consecrating our society, reconsecrating to St. Joseph. So that sheet will be passed around after Mass. We'll pray it immediately after the Leonine prayers. Remember the prayers of Pope Leo that are said after Mass, the three Hail Marys? It was Pius XI who requested that these prayers be said for the conversion of Russia. And we know that Our Lady promised that that conversion will take place when Russia is properly consecrated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So this is the third Sunday in Lent. Interesting quote here from St. Pius X. He warned what would happen if Mary is forgotten or neglected or rejected. Quote, "If we were to lose Mary, the world would wholly decay. Virtue would disappear, especially holy purity and virginity, marriage, married love and fidelity. The mystical river through which God's graces flow to us would dry up. The brightest star would disappear from heaven, and darkness would take its place." Yes, St. Pius X, who himself, 5 years before the Fatima intervention from heaven, he promoted the five first Saturday devotions, so that you could confess and receive communion at least 5 months in a row on the first Saturday. And he's a great hero. I commend to you, though, the prayers and litanies to St. Joseph for the rest of this month. And I remind you that the last apparition of Our Lady at Fatima, where the sun started spinning and dancing in the sky, witnessed by 70 to 100,000 people, that miracle was followed by the appearance of St. Joseph holding the child Jesus and both of them blessing the world. So that could well be a figure of the coming times when there'll be major cataclysms in the sky, and then there'll be a period of peace following the consecration of Russia properly done. So I put some new copies of the bulletin, which covers the month of April as well as next week. And in there is the sermon matter for today. I've been going through the, as you know, the seven capital sins, and today I'm looking at envy. Now, envy, of course, is a certain jealousy, but a grief over our neighbor's good, which seems to us to surpass or obscure our own. A certain sadness or annoyance at another's temporal or spiritual good, because it seems to lessen our own. Now, in the dictionary, I have here the word jealous. First meaning, suspected rivalry in love. Suspicious of a lover or spouse's fidelity. A second meaning of jealousy is guarding, protecting, zealously protecting, careful of protecting what one has. So God says he's a jealous God in Exodus 34. God is jealous because he's protective. His love doesn't want us to stray into idolatry, which is compared to fornication or infidelity. God is a jealous God, protective love. Jealousy can also be equivalent to envy, which is feeling resentful or angered towards somebody for a perceived advantage or success, material or otherwise. So sometimes envy and jealousy are used interchangeably, but jealousy can be good, a holy jealousy. We can speak of a holy anger, which is rightly directed towards evil and within the bounds of reason. Same way we can speak of a holy envy. The word there is emulation. We see the good of another, we see the virtue of someone else, and we want that for ourselves. That's emulation. On the other hand, to feel bad about the material or spiritual goods of someone else is a terribly evil capital sin, which is against charity. It leads to so many evils. In fact, if you look at your missal for last Friday, the epistle there is a long one, and it's exactly the one used today in the Roman Breviary for our priestly prayers today. It's Genesis chapter 37, the story of the Old Testament Joseph, who interestingly, was hated by his brothers because they were envious of him. There are actually two reasons why they hated him. The first is he told on them. They were doing something wicked, the other brothers, and he told on them. So naturally, they resent him for that. But then he shared with them a dream that he had about their sheaves in the field, as they're working in the field, binding sheaves. And his stood up and theirs bowed down before his. And he explained this dream that he had, and they were furious with him. Does this mean you, younger brother, are going to be put in dominion over us? And so brothers decided to get rid of him. And indeed, their envy and their hatred led to Joseph being thrown into a well, rescued, sold into Egypt, and eventually becoming prince of Egypt, and the one who would protect his family, the Egyptians and the Israelites, from the great famine. So in so many ways, Joseph of the Old Testament is a image of St. Joseph in the New. And the envy and the hatred of his brethren led him to be, in fact, suffer a lot, but then to be exalted above all his people. So God draws good out of evil. The devil is envious of us because we can go back to God and we can share in his infinite life and happiness. He cannot. Also in the Passion of our Lord, Matthew 27, verse 18, Pilate knew that the Jews who were against our Lord handed him over out of envy. It's a sin against charity. It's a sin that caused all the evil in the world and our Lord's death. All because of envy. Book of Wisdom says, by the envy of the devil, death came into the world. And charity does not envy. So it shows itself in sadness at someone else's success, whether social position, wealth, honors, fame, trying to keep up with the Joneses, It's a joy at someone else's difficulties and setbacks, as if it's going to help you. The envious in heart are glad when someone else fails, no matter how painful or pitiful the failure. It leads to calumny and backbiting, to drag someone down. You know, when someone rises up, others will try and knock them down out of envy. It can destroy families and businesses. It leads to persecuting those who the envious man foolishly considers to be in his way. Of course, in this way, it can lead to wars. Persecuting those in their way, refuse to talk to or deal with them, saying things that will hinder the progress of his imagined rival. It belittles the merits and the good qualities of others. This is particularly dangerous sin among professional people, ridiculing others. The mindset of the zeitgeist, whatever is the fashion of the day or the common opinion, those who stand out are knocked down, trying to lower others. Now, it's true that we should despise the sins and the vices of other people. We should feel content when someone else is justly punished. But we mustn't go into envy, selfish, anti-charity. The effects of envy makes us small and childish. A child might look upon the success of others as something that harms himself. We should know better. Mature people should know better. It hinders our work and our success. Thinking about our neighbor, taking valuable time away from what we could do for our own advancement. Yeah, the envious man is eaten up within himself. He torments himself. It's like the image of the snake that eats his own tail. It really makes people unhappy. The envious man, number one, is unhappy. destroys friendships, destroys teamwork, destroys much good. It even happens among religious people, and even among priests, there can be an envy. If someone is standing out, doing good, converting souls, even fellow priests can be envious, try to drag them down. There was a recent bishop in Argentina who decided his people should be allowed to choose whether they want to take the COVID vaccine or not. He's not going to force them. The Pope forced him out of his position, forced him to retire for not going along with the rest of the bishops. This bishop had also refused to put his seminarians in the diocesan seminary, which was a hotbed of heresy and immorality. So he was rising up, doing some good, knocked down by none other than the Bishop of Rome. So how to overcome this vice? Beg God for a true spirit of love for everyone. True charity, and especially when you feel, if you feel, God forbid, any tendencies towards resentment towards another for their good qualities, pray for that person. Sometimes if someone else is tempting you, a good little technique is to pray the Hail Mary, the second half. You say, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for such and such, now and at the hour of his death, amen. Specifically praying for the person who in one way or another is tempting you. Consider the harm that is done by envy, and on the other hand, the tremendous happiness of a heart free from envy, at peace with itself, at peace with everybody else. It is willing to do things for others, even at a sacrifice. Share your joys and sorrows with others, sympathize with their difficulties, congratulate them on their successes. Doing this sincerely will foster true charity. There's a holy rivalry, a holy competition, and there's an unholy one spurred by envy. And of course, true humility is the foundation of true love of neighbor. And remember that money, success, and fame are not everything, and frequently they are the downfall of people. True friendship and spiritual love are much more valuable here and hereafter. This is what I put in the bulletin for this topic of envy. And just remember how hateful it is to God that we should even feel bad about someone else's good qualities or success. It's hateful to God and man. Sadly, the envious man doesn't see it. He doesn't see how evil it is. So sometimes, like the mentally ill, are the last ones to recognize their condition. Hence, they refuse any help. So sometimes it's a great miracle if the envious man wakes up to himself, changes his ways, and comes to a spirit of true charity. So let us pray to overcome any tendencies towards any of these capital sins. Next 3 weeks, we'll cover the last three that we haven't looked at yet. And pray for the church and for the world that we might find God's grace and his seasonable aid. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.